Welcome to the Team Behind the Team podcast. I am your host, Donnie Mabe. This is the monthly show focused on building conversations around the team-based model approach to athletic performance, strength and conditioning, sports medicine, sports science, mental health and wellness, and sports nutrition. Welcome back again to the Team Behind the Team podcast. We have part two. This is a follow-up from last episode with Mark Henry. This is the second part of it. This part, Billy, man, I've really enjoyed this part. He gets into kind of how he was raised in Silsby, right? Some of the influences in his life to really who he speaks to who he is, how big his heart is. Would you agree?
100%. This, you know, he just kind of goes over of, you know, how he gave back and to his community and how he was raised. You know, he, like you were saying, he touched back on how he was raised in Silsby, Texas, and his upbringing, and then, you know, where he got to today and how he became so successful.
Yeah, and I think you'll enjoy this second part of the interview. To me, it just comes down to this, right? With any kind of great, whether it's an athlete, a business person, a leader, it's not about your success. You do have to build that foundation of success to do something great, but it's really about the legacy, right? And I feel like with Mark Henry, he's a guy, and again, from what I've known and what Billy's known and seen, he's a guy that wants to give back more than he's taking. He's definitely taking some, but he's giving back. And it's rare and hard to find people that want to do that. So it's so cool. In this second episode, you'll kind of hear some of his heart from that, how he's raised, influences, and then why he likes to give back. He talks about his son Jacob a little bit, I think. Love to see that he cares about his kids, but he's also, Billy, he's a parent that wants to let life kind of train his kids. He's not that kind of quote of don't always try to prepare the path for the child, prepare the child for the path. And I kind of picked that up in Mark. So
yeah, I would definitely say the same. You know, he talks about his family and how he was raised and how he's trying to keep that parallel, I guess, to how he's raising his kids in the world today. And he just touched bases on how his kids are doing and how his family's progressing and, you know, just kind of going over all everything in his life.
Yeah, a lot of good nuggets. This, again, two-part series. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Here is part two, interview with Mark Henry. Enjoy.
So going back onto, I guess, your family stuff, kind of want to talk about Jacob a little bit with his lifting and stuff and going to Oklahoma. I know we touched base a little bit on that, but how's his lifting so far going?
Man, last week, he was in the football weight room. He was a wrestler, but he in the room where the football players work out, and he did a set of five with 500. So Jacob could squat like 650, 670, somewhere in there. And they don't have nobody remotely as close to being strong as him at Oklahoma. And Jacob got a lot of negative programming. Mm-hmm. You know, he was out there at Lake Travis, and I heard coaches tell us, me and my wife, like, so what's the deal with Jacob? So what do you mean? Well, we hear he's a prima donna. It's like, my kid? Get out of here. Yeah, we you know, like, y'all, you know, it affects how he's looked when, you know, people meddle in the program. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Tell me this again. And I'm going to name names. The coach at Rice told me on a radio show. We both just happened to be at a radio station same time. He was like, I heard you and your wife, y'all like activists in Austin. Right. You don't think that's going to affect Jacob getting recruited? And I was like, first off, activists is not a bad thing.
No.
You know, you need activists. You need people that are trying to look out for people that ain't getting the proper representation. And I'm always, till they put my ass in the ground, if it's a black person that's trying to come up and they won't get recognized because of nepotism or they won't get recognized because they not in the rooms where the deals are getting done, or they don't know that the test is coming. I'm telling.
Yeah.
I'm going to push them in the back because I got it. I got help. Yeah. Why would I not? That's not a bad thing.
No, it's people.
But the people at Lake Travis made it seem like it was a bad thing. And it affected him with his recruiting.
Yeah, perception.
Yeah, perception is reality is what I was always taught. Mm-hmm. And he got some bad propaganda, but he rising above it, just like, you know, people of color have had to do for centuries now. You just got to keep on working and rise up.
I remember when Jacob was, he brought him in the weight room. He's real, this dude ran up behind me as a little kid and grabbed me. I'm like, who? Where is he from? I'm like, this kid is, he's strong and like, you could tell.
Jacob, I used to sick him on people.
You could tell like he was going to, obviously Mark's his dad, but his mom is, your wife is tiny now.
Well, she was All-American gymnast though too.
So the genetics were there.
Her dad was a pro boxer and fought as a Charles, was the alternate on the 54 Olympic team. Of course, you know who his dad is. He got five. We got five boys in our family that won Super Bowls.
Wow.
That's winning.
I've never heard of that. Four, that is crazy.
Four guys that won Super Bowls and five, Michael Strahan, won twice.
Wow. Yeah, that's
and
a good
my
family.
Cousin Kevin, and this is on three different sides of the family. So it's not just one.
It's spread throughout.
Yeah. Like Sam Adams, that Sam played behind my brother at A&M. And Pat was probably the best out of all of us. He just had a career-ending injury. Otherwise, the only person I ever seen that was remotely like Pat was Warren Sapp and Aaron Donald. So quick, so strong. His nickname was Shorty Strong. Everybody called him Shorty Steele. He's 6'1", 700-pound squat.
Wow. Oh.
It wasn't just genetic. It was how hard he worked. Like, we worked together. We worked out every day.
Mm.
Donnie, there were days where I squatted 3 or 4 days in a row. Wow. And when I lifted at home, in order for me to do a squat, I had to do a good morning first. So my brother would hold the bench down. I would get under the bench press, do a good morning with 315, and then squat till you fatigue, and then have to do a big good morning to put it back. Go try it. I double dog dare you.
No. All right.
It was stuff that I did that I didn't know that I was preparing myself for something greater. Mm-hmm. It just happened by accident. I didn't have nobody training me. You know how I learned how to lift? Watching Body Shaping with Jeff and Corey Everson on ESPN.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
I'd watch the show. Oh, yeah, I'm going to try that. Okay, I'm going to do those when I get out. And I go outside and go work. Crazy, man. That's what my life was.
You didn't
was.
Have all the videos today.
They didn't have, like, man, there wasn't no film study.
No.
I ain't have access. I was in Silsby. It's only 3,000 people in the whole town. Everybody know everybody, like Mayberry. Hey, Mark. I'm dead serious. Everybody know everybody. You can't do nothing. I got so many whoopings as a kid.
Maybe that's all we need to bring back, Mark.
They need to bring whoopings
that press,
back.
That press bring back for WWE.
Listen, man.
Cut the phone off and just whoop them.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was going to confuse me with anybody.
Yeah.
I was visibly different than everybody else in that town. That 12-year-old kid. Yeah, this dude, he didn't look like he was that old. Probably about 230 pounds. Oh, yeah, that's Mark Henry. Throwing rocks in windows, whooping, All my childhood stories end with me.
Who would give you the whooping? Would it be your mama?
My mom, my grandma, my uncles, my stepdad.
Ooh, everybody. I wouldn't want to whoop you if I was.
Man, I stole a I can't eat the candy now to this day. I can't eat a what a God, whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit, yeah, that's
I can't eat a whatchamacallit now because I stole one and got caught. And my mom made me take it back to the store. I worked for the guy in the store for a week, cutting boxes, mopping floors, cleaning up and straightening up, unpacking. She put my ass
to work.
That's
a good mama.
But she beat me like a rented mule. And then told my grandmother what happened. She whooped me.
That's a good
family.
My stepdad
used to work offshore. He was an offshore driller. He came off from work. And they told him, what? He whooped me.
I think this is a secret to his WWE. To his stardom.
So it's like, you don't mess up twice. Because you're going to have to go through that again. And like, man, I learned my lessons like the first time. I ain't stupid. And my kids, they got discipline. I've never whooped my kids. Mm-hmm. Never had to. I could say, Jacob, I'm very disappointed. He'll start crying. He didn't want to disappoint me. No, I guess.
That's a lot.
No ice cream this week. You know, I used the video game. I'll put that video game under the bed. Y'all, you ain't allowed. Like I took away the finer things in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the kids, you take away things that mean a lot to them. It's just a different generation.
Yeah, it's different. It's just different like the world is different. I didn't want to preach violence, and I was a pro wrestler for a living, but my kids knew. Well, Jacob didn't know until he was 12, and he was like, Dad, I'm so tired of you losing. And I was like, Jacob, I'm putting on a show, and I ruined it. I told him Santa Claus was not real.
Yep, you did.
But I had to do it because he was at the impressionable age of what's real and what's not. And his perception of me was that I was losing.
Yeah, why is Dad losing?
A little bit of skepticism.
Right. And I'm
right
like,
there, yeah.
Jacob.
Right. Yep.
You do know that if I grab somebody's skin, I can pull it off. It wouldn't be fair to fight me. Back then, in my prime?
No.
I Mike Tyson, anybody. Yeah. I didn't care. And it wasn't nothing that they could have done to stop me from doing whatever I wanted to do.
No, I remember being around you some when you were then, and it was just, you had this aura and this, and again, you weren't like mean or nothing.
I wasn't no bully. I ain't never been no bully.
But there was this like unbeatable mentality and
I felt
presence.
Bulletproof.
Yeah.
I really did, and
tell
that's
us
dangerous.
Who's your best favorite person you like to wrestle with? Like, who is the—
Oh, my God.
Who would you get in the ring with, you really?
Man, Rey Mysterio.
Why him?
Rey Mysterio, 5'4", 145 pounds, and we would tear the roof off of buildings because we would use—wrestling is a psychology-based business. You can't be a dummy and be a wrestler. You can be, but you won't be any good.
Right.
You got to learn how to tell stories with action. The term Broadway comes from wrestling. You know that?
Mm-mm, I didn't know. No.
Because Broadway is a one-hour wrestling match. That's what that is. And you read the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
That's pro wrestling. Good versus evil.
Stage. It's a stage. Story.
There's a story behind every story. And then you have the prequels, the precursors to the story. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in wrestling. We tell the precursor, we have a match, and then we tell the backstory once it's over with. And then people get emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. And I would play I was the bad guy. Ray was a good guy. He had a cross on his helmet. on his mask. He's Rey Mysterio. And if I grabbed him and pushed him down to the ground and stood over him, however many people in there would stand up and boo the hell out of me. I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. And we just had him. Right. And I always found a way to for him to shine. And that's the beauty of psychology, is when you tell those stories, you have to pay off the story. And I lost, because good is supposed to triumph over evil. And, you know, so I'm telling Jacob that day, he sat quiet and looked at a wall for like 20 minutes, just couldn't wrap his brain around.
Yeah.
And then he would come back, he would go, so you know who's going to win? And I said, yeah, Jacob. And then he look at the wall again, be quiet. And then about 5 or 10 minutes later, he come back. So the time that you, and then he would start bringing back.
He's replaying
back, him. He replaying everything. And he bringing it back. Dad, how did you trick me? I said, Jacob, I didn't trick you. You love it, right? Yeah. I said, keep loving it. But just know that if you ever do this, I'm going to have to teach you how to sell. And he said, sell what? For money? I said, no. Sell as in your reaction to whatever stimuli that comes your way. Is it positive or negative? If that cup drops and knocks over, oh man, God. Like, that's selling something. You know, if the cup fall over and nobody reacts, how interesting is that?
It's boring, yeah.
You'd be a showman.
You have to be a showman, but not a chest beater. They two different things.
Who is going back to the wrestling, anybody in that circle of your time good at lifting like you were, decent?
Who were some of the strongest guys that you went against?
Yeah, who were some of the strongest guys that could have?
John Cena was really strong.
Did you ever train with him in the
weight room? I mean, 700-pound squat.
Wow.
At 275.
Yeah.
That's pretty stout.
Where'd he get that from?
He also had a plus 550 bench.
Oh, wow.
Brock Lesnar was incredibly strong. But then there were guys like, you know, Bruce Wilhelm, who wrestled a little bit. Mm-hmm. He was an Olympic weightlifter. You had Bill Kazmaier, wrestled a little bit. You know, didn't make a career out of it. One of the best strong men of all time.
Right, yeah.
Ted Arcidi, Doug Furness. Doug Furness, I think he won a world championship in powerlifting.
Okay.
And Ted Arcidi, he was the first man ever benched
700 pounds. Yeah. Wow. So it's been some really strong people. But you know, the people that are strong, that were strong to me, were the genetic freak people.
Like Big Show.
Like Big Show. Yeah. Like, I watched Big Show do reps with 500 pounds, and he would put one plate on, 135, 225, 315, 405, 455, 500, and then he wouldn't lift again. He wouldn't do bench again for like a week.
What about Dwayne Johnson? Was he ever a guy that you got to see?
He was pretty.
Yeah, he was pretty, yeah. He was pretty.
The Rock was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he
was the stone. He was.
Hey, man. His, when he came from Canada, his first day, he had $7 to his name.
Right.
Which his company is called 7 Bucks Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have enough money to get a hotel. He hadn't got his first WWE check yet, and he moved in with me. So people see The Rock. The Rock lived with me for 10 months. Wow. And then we got rid of our apartment in Connecticut and went to Memphis and worked for Jerry Lawler's territory. But we was employed by WWE.
Yeah.
But okay. they would, you know, kind of like send talent to go get experience. And so I ended up being in Memphis. But like he wasn't strong like that. He worked out, but he worked out more like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of reps, real lightweight. Didn't ever push it.
Looked good on stage and during the show.
Yeah, man. They look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
When you started and got into the game of WWE, I've heard a couple stories. Is it true that you hung up on Vince McMahon when he gave you a phone call?
I didn't think it was Vince.
Can you tell us a little bit about that with your start?
Because I'm a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So everybody in our dorm knew that on Mondays and Saturday mornings that I was in the rec room watching wrestling because they knew not to come and turn the TV because I would be bent out of shape. You know, we had one TV. It was like jail at the Olympic Training Center. So, like, I'm sitting there an hour sometimes before wrestling came on just so that people wouldn't turn the channel. Because if you came in the room and something was on, you couldn't turn the channel. Yeah. That was the rule. So I would just go post up. I was going to watch my wrestling. So I thought it was Wes Barnett because
I remember Wes.
Wes was our heavyweight under me.
Okay.
I just knew it was Wes acting like he was Vince. And I was like, yeah, right, Wes, and hung up.
That's crazy.
And Vince, Terry Todd called me back. And Terry said, did you hang up on Vince? And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, Vince McMahon is trying to call you. And I went, that was Vince for real? And I was in shock.
Mm.
I was nervous, man. I was standing, we had a payphone in the hallway. I'm pacing in front of the phone like, oh, shit. Man, I can't believe this, man. I can't believe I hung up. And then the phone rang. I was like, hello? Oh, he was like, is this Mark? And I was like, yes. He said, well, you hang up on me? I said, man, I'm so sorry. I was like, I thought it was one of my guys. He just busted out laughing.
That's hilarious. And that was a start to your contract right around that era? He was calling you just to get information?
That was 95.
Okay.
You were still competing.
I was still competing. And he was like, hey, we see you. This is before social media.
Yeah.
I was getting so much attention back then that it got to them. And they were like, this dude is everywhere. And I'm competing in celebrity slam dunks. I'm doing Hollywood stuff. I did Arnold, before the Arnold Classic, Arnold used to do a thing on Muscle Beach in Venice. And I went, and there was a guy that used to hang out on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And do curls, and out curl everybody because his body didn't produce a lot of lactic acid. Mm-hmm. So you're a kinesiology guy, you understand what I'm saying. For y'all that don't understand, lactic acid is the thing that makes you lock up when your body starts to get tired and the oxygen is out of your blood. There's waste that stops you from being able to perform at a high level. And it'll make you cramp. It'll make you lock up. So that's that guy. Uh-huh. He was out there doing his thing. And I went out there and I was like sitting back watching him. And I said, you know what? It's a trick. Because I just knew. I was like, I said, I'm going to challenge him to something else other than curls. I was like, let's see how long he can hold the dumbbells out, inverted, straight out like this.
Okay.
Because he don't work those muscle groups like that. I do. So when I got him to do that, he was like, he was fighting it. He was fighting it. And he's like, and I beat him. And I'm still like this. I'm like, come on, man, you ain't done. I'm talking trash. And that got back to Arnold and other people, and they was like, man, that dude is a showman. He meant for wrestling. And holy so cow. Like the kind of the legend of Mark Henry started getting out there.
With your career and telling about your story, how you got found, I know over the years, in the past 10 years or so, recent years, you've actually kind of developed and found a lot of athletes for the WWE. You want to talk about that a little bit? Some people that you've scouted out?
You know what? Just what I was saying.
Okay.
Like, the way that it was for me is the way that I scout. Like, they asked me to help when I got injured one time. Hey, we want to use your connection to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You think that they'll allow us to come in and go to the Olympic Games and scout talent and so forth? Yeah. I said, yeah, if we call them. Yeah. So I ended up calling the Olympic Committee and working it out that we can go and scout the Olympic Games. Yeah. And man, I ended up scouting a lot of people, but I told them that their system was flawed. Because some of the guys, they only would pick the girls that they thought were hot. They didn't have no athletic ability. They couldn't put a sentence together.
Their face looked good on TV, but they couldn't perform for anything.
Man, they couldn't perform. They couldn't do nothing but look pretty. And the dudes, they might look good, yeah, but man, if you hit one of them by accident, yeah, like, they're going to cry and fold up and go home.
Yeah.
I said, you need to get competitive athletes that look good. And you can't just get the ones that just look good. You need to get people that when you hear them before you see them. Mm-hmm. So I gave them all these criteria of what I thought how you pick a talent should be. Mm-hmm. And that's what we go by still today. Yeah. I pick Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Brian Danielson, I can't claim him. Because he was just good. And I was like, hey, y'all need to see this dude. I saw this guy wrestle. He was awesome. Yeah. All I did was open the door. Hey, walk in, boom. He going to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm. Apollo Crews and Rich Swann were in Japan. They were very entertaining. I was like, you got to get these dudes. Vince said, go get them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so am I paying for this? You know, so it was one of them. I got them, flew them to Orlando or Tampa at the time. They signed them. Both of them became world champions. Wow. Then Braun Strowman, he was a strong man. And I saw him. And before I saw him, I heard him. Come on, guys. Big Country is in the building. I'm finna do this or this. I was like, that dude right there got it. He looked the part. He was 6'7", yeah, 330 pounds.
Yeah, huge.
And big dude, but a lot of personality, yeah, and a ton of confidence. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, I want you to wrestle. He was like, no, I'm going to be world champion. I said, bro, you know, I don't want to be a dream smasher, but I'm going to tell you, Brian Shaw is 25. He's going to be world champion for a long time. Yeah. Eddie Hall is in his early 20s. He's going to be champion. They're going to go back and forth.
Half Thor.
Half Thor was coming along. He was not there yet, but 2 years later, now you got three of them, three-headed monster. And then Zdrunas Savickas came. I said, bro, like, I'm trying to get you paid. Like, a year and a half later, he called me. Hey, Mr. Henry, you think you can still get me into wrestling? I said, yes. Where are you? And how fast can you get to the airport? Flew him to Tampa. He became world champion. Wow. His highest year, he made $1 million. His lowest year, he made $500,000. And that was 10 years ago.
That was a good jump.
So you go from being broke and in a car that don't work. He was like, well, I hope you don't want me to drive because my car is not, you know, I don't know if I can put it on the road. You go from being broke. That's what I enjoy, changing people's life. Yeah. And then Bianca Belair,
CrossFit.
She was a CrossFit athlete. Crazy. She's at the Nationals, and you know in CrossFit, you do an apparatus, you put that down,
yeah,
and then you step over and you go to the next thing. She did a cartwheel to get to the next thing.
She's wasting energy.
Wasting energy trying to be entertaining.
Wow.
Then she would do that and lift, and then she'd do a backflip, and then she'd go to the next thing and do V-ups and stuff. And I said, wow, this is the most entertained I've been in a while.
Yeah.
And if I'm entertained and you teach them how to wrestle, they're going to be entertaining. She main evented WrestleMania, world champion.
Wow.
Jade Cargill. They called me, or a mutual friend of ours called me and said, hey, this girl, you should look at her. She's incredible to look at. Y'all Google Jade Cargill, WWE. Unbelievably striking to look at. You just go, holy cow, God make those?
Right.
She incredible.
Yeah.
Your wife is not going to get mad at you for looking at her. Your wife going to look at her like, God dang. Wow, she's put together. Incredible. And I thought she was too pretty. I said, my experience, people that look like that, they going to quit easy. He's going to waste our time. And I told her, I said, look, if you serious, I need you to go to Indianapolis. She was in Atlanta. I said, I want you to work out with this guy named Rip Rogers, Hall of Fame wrestling coach. But he's crazy, batshit crazy. And please go Google Rip Rogers. And I'm sorry now. I'm just apologizing for introducing you to this guy. He's nuts. I love him, though. He put it through a workout, and he called me. He said, hey, fat bastard. That's what he always called me, fat bastard. He said, where'd you find this one? And I was like, you know what? She reached out to me. He said, she's going to make so much money, they're going to have to start printing new money. Oh, and I was like, what are you talking about? He said, man, I hit her across her back as hard as I could hit somebody without going to jail. And she said, that's all you got, old man? Wow. And I went, are you serious? He said, Mark,
made that steal.
She tough. And I was like, well, tell her to call me. She called me the next day, flew to Orlando, got her a tryout with the WWE. They didn't sign her. She got signed by AEW and worked with Cody Rhodes and became highly successful, was at one point 50-0 wrestling.
Okay.
Got over, then, of course, her deal was up. Now the WWE wanted her.
Of course.
And then they signed her, and she's already been, she went to WrestleMania, and she's already been world tag champions. Everybody that I pick, they win.
Because
I understand what you need to be in my business. And that is, I think that's another one of those gifts that God gave me to keep it going, because it's so easy to fall off once one thing leaves.
Yeah,
if you don't have something else, man. That's why they say you got to diversify your portfolio. You got to
really do.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's 1,000 of them. I never was able to not put all my eggs in a basket. But when I do, I ain't dropping the bag. Like, I'm willing to work the long hours. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there before you get there, and I'm going to be there after you leave. Like, that mentality is the key to success. And a lot of people don't realize success is not easy. But it's attainable if you're willing to sacrifice what it takes to have it. Most people not. Mm. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, even today, I mean.
You got 85 people on that UT football
team.
Right,
right.
Only 3 or 4 going to go to the NFL.
Yeah, small percentage, like less than 2%. Yep.
And they only going to be in the league for 3 to 4 years. Those three that make it.
Yeah, so you better have something else.
So you better have something else.
So what's for Mark Henry? What's next for Mark?
Man, I want to continue to do really good in radio. I've been courted about doing a radio show here in Austin.
Okay.
I'm focusing on my website. The Mark Henry Show is going to be on themarkhenry.com. I book for All Caribbean Wrestling, or I pick the talent for All Caribbean Wrestling. And we got shows in the Bahamas and Trinidad and Jamaica. I still, you know, go to the Arnold every year and MC the World's Strongest Man. Like, I stay busy, man. Like, I've done some Comic-Cons and stuff like that now, which I really never did a lot of that. But job-wise, like, I just love the radio, man. Like, what we doing right here is...
Yeah, it's so fun.
I do it every day. And 3 hours a day, every day. So we're, you know, busted open. We're on 7 days a week. I only do 3 days, but I say only because I can sit and talk all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a plan. Oh, I'm going to be there for an hour, and I leave in 2 hours because I just can't help it.
Yeah, you kind of touched on, you know, I've always looked up to Arnold. You obviously know Arnold.
Yeah, he's good.
He's done what you said. He's kind of like diversified his career from being the athlete, the actor, and then to politicians, you know.
And businessman.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize how much real estate like Arnold owns and his company that his son works for him, and how the Arnold Classic itself, Jim Larmer, God rest his soul, died last year. And Arnold is the guy, and that the Arnold Classic probably, with Lloyd Davis and all of his team, there's probably about 40 of them. 40 people have a full-time job,
right?
Running one event.
I think it's the biggest, besides obviously
trade show in the world.
Yeah, because the Olympics is every 4 years, but I think on an annual basis, it's the biggest sporting event in the world.
Yeah, they have more athletes than that compete in the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
At the Arnold. So, I mean, it's like just to wrangle and pay for flights and, you know, the economic growth of Columbus, Ohio is, man, is way worth more than his weight in gold. I think
they're bringing $70 million.
$70 million a weekend.
Yeah.
For that classic,
every year.
Oh, for the economy.
Wow.
Cause this, and that's one weekend out of every year.
And then he started a series. He's got a series with the Arnold UK, Arnold South America down in Brazil, Arnold Africa and South Africa, Arnold Europe, all around the world are doing stuff like this.
That brand is huge. And they're going to have to hire some more people because Lloyd Davis is a friend of mine. And he'll go some, like when they have the Arnold, the next weekend they do back-to-back, the Arnold UK. He sleep about 2 hours, 3 hours a day for 2 weeks.
Who?
Lloyd.
Oh, wow.
I said, bro, you look like you been hit by a truck. And he's like, man, I slept 3 hours yesterday. I got to go over here to the building right now, man. I'll talk to you later. And I'm like,
That's a lot.
They wearing them out.
Yeah.
They work hard, bro. Like, and I love hard workers, but I believe in smart work too. Like you can't never let it get dangerous.
Yeah, like you said earlier, you want to live a good life, a full life, not a short life.
Man, that stress.
Yeah.
That stress will take you out.
You want to be a Swiss Army knife in your life, you know. You want to have all different kind of pockets and windows to kind of go down avenue throughout your life. You don't want to just stick to one thing. Like you're saying, Arnold, he used bodybuilding as his lever to start his career.
Yeah.
And you used powerlifting to get into weightlifting and then to strawman and then to, you know,
WWE. Yeah, you got a springboard from one thing to the other.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be great, then you're going to have to, like, focus and narrow it down. Mm-hmm. You know, I told both my kids, I say, listen, y'all can play volleyball. She's playing volleyball now, track, basketball, and she wrestles. I said, your senior year, you may be able to do two of those.
Yeah,
you ain't going to have time. And the coaches that are going to offer you a scholarship, they're not going to want you to take all that risk of getting hurt. So Jacob told me, no. Like most boys, they know more than their dads when they get 17.
Yeah, I know that. I know that one.
You're looking over at you, Billy.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I know.
I look over Billy. And like all of a sudden, they just geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah, you clueless.
It doesn't work out too easily.
You ain't lived much life.
Hey, you had girls. You got lucky.
Yeah.
Them boys, golly, Donnie.
Well, Marcus,
my grandma used to say, oh, you smelling your piss.
Yeah.
Like, you think you a man now. Yeah. You can tell us what to do. Like, boys do that. I don't know what is wrong with, man, these men today, Donnie. I sound like my mama now. Jacob thought he knew more than me at sometimes. And I'd say, okay, you do it. And I would let him fail. Because
that's not normal, though. Most parents won't.
The greatest medicine for being an athlete is losing. I told you. Now you want to do it my way? Yeah, I guess.
He's so irritated.
And then when we have success, then it's like, yeah, I did it. And I'm like, you did. I'm very proud of you. Man, you helped. But yesterday, he called my wife in tears. Thank y'all so much. I'm prepared. I was ready for this. And I'm handling this. And my wife was. And he got some big news. And I'm not going to break his news. But something happened to him yesterday that was big for him.
That's awesome.
And he called us thanking us for preparing him and getting him ready. And I was like, a little pat on the back, you know. My wife just in tears, bawling. And I was like, you should be happy. Why are you crying? It's just a feel-good story. I was like, menopause, that's menopause, lady.
I tell you, that's so good, Mark. I mean, that's the quote of the century right there. You really need to prepare the child for the path, not the path for the child. You know,
yes.
That's it.
And sometimes you can't give them off ramps. Mm-hmm. You get on that road, I need you to finish it out. Where it dead ends is where you're going. I invested my time, my money, and my belief and prayers for you to have success. And now you want to quit? What is that?
Yeah.
You ever seen me quit anything? You ever seen your mom quit it? And then they go, no. And then they get it. Like, that's, you can't go through life quitting.
Yeah, but you don't learn.
You gotta fail. I'd rather you fail than to quit. Go and do it to failure. And then you say, well, that wasn't for you. It's time to go on to something else. But that woe is me. That's the most expensive thing that I can think of. Entitlement. I can't afford it. It's too expensive. I can't afford that. It's hard for me. I have empathy. I feel sorry for people, but I don't pity anyone. You had your chance to make a decision and you didn't. And you didn't have a dad like me telling you, no, you're not doing it. No, you're going to finish it. And that's, we all need it.
Yeah, my dad.
Terry Ty kicked me, man, you know how many times he verbally kicked my ass? Mark, you can't do it your way.
It's so good though, Mark. It's been a great conversation. So to our listeners that want to follow you, learn about you, what's the best way?
The best way is to go to themarkhenry.com, to my website. I'm the Mark Henry on all things social media, on X, Instagram, Facebook. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of.
What about your show that you do every?
Well, what's your show? My show is on Sirius XM channel 156.
Okay,
it's called Bust It Open. We have the number one podcast, and somewhere around 300 to 500 listeners a week, 1,000 listeners a week. Howard Stern is the only person on Sirius that's got a high rating in my show.
That's incredible. Good stuff, Mark. Well, dude, this has been an incredible conversation. Thank you for making
time. Man, anything for you, man. You one of God's chosen.
I appreciate it. I tell you what, there's not another Mark Henry, never will be. And I know, you know, all things aside, Texas, you know, you've been a special place in my dad's heart, my heart, you know, aside from who you are as success, but as a human being and as a man of God, I appreciate you, Mark. So thank you so much. And
I appreciate you sharing your dad with me.
Yeah.
Your dad was special, man.
Well, good stuff. Well, Billy, any closing thoughts for
you? I just want to say as well, I feel honored, you know, to be on the panel with obviously Coach Donnie and also with Mr. Mark Henry. Y'all are both two legends in coaching and sport in general. And I just want to say I'm very honored to be on this podcast.
Donnie underrated in the world of physical culture.
He truly is.
he ain't going to toot his own horn.
I talked to you at the Arnold, and when I told you I was going to Texas, you're like, you know, with Coach Donnie? And the first thing he said, he's like, he's the best in the business. I was like, he is, man. So...
Look at volleyball.
Yes.
Look at the women's sports.
Back-to-back national champions.
At this school. Like, not just volleyball, but all the women's sports.
Listen.
Like, man, it ain't an accident that they winning.
Oh, yeah.
That they doing good. They come from preparation and training.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Donnie has us here. We get here early in the morning. We get everything set up. We get it going.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, longevity, like, you don't play the short game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to get your money, but you at that age where you got to put in sweat equity and you got to prove that you worth this business. I say this company because Texas is not just a college, it's a business.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
So if you want them to value you and give you that watch in 30 years, like, you're going to have to sacrifice and... Sometimes take a pay cut. Sometimes, like, you have to work multiple jobs. Like, they gonna want you to do everything just to prove you worthy.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
It's good wisdom. Good wisdom, not only for Billy, but for our listeners.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, Mark,
I appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, that's it, and thank you so much. And that's it from the team behind the team podcast. Hey, the world's strongest man in the house today, Mark. We love you. Appreciate you. Hook 'em,
brother. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that interview as much as Billy and I did. Billy, did you enjoy that?
I truly did. It was phenomenal talking to Mr. Mark Henry for 2 hours, you know, the world's strongest man. If y'all want to go check him out and find out more about Mr. Mark Henry, obviously go on YouTube, look stuff about him there, or go to the Stark Center website and check out the Arnold Classic website as well. They've got some articles about him and his phenomenal lifts and career on there. But overall, Coach Donnie, what else do you think?
No, just I really enjoyed it. It's been one of my most memorable interviews. We've been doing this podcast since 2020, and so I mean the time flew by. He's just a man. It's a wealth of knowledge, history, accolades, and accomplishments. So definitely, you can tell when you're in the presence of someone great, they have that impact on you. Mark Henry is that guy. He is that person. He is that human being. So we're grateful for our time with him. Just like Billy said, check out those websites. I highly encourage you to do a little more research on Mark. If you ever get a chance to connect with him, he's pretty approachable, wouldn't you say, Billy?
I would say so. Yes, he's a very charismatic guy, and he'll have a joke coming at you once you talk to him for a couple.
Yeah, he'll squeeze your trap real hard too if you're a guy and make you feel like, I'm not gonna make this guy mad. But again, hey, hope you enjoyed the interview. Appreciate you tuning in to the Team Behind the Team podcast. Share this episode on your socials. Hop on there on the website. Give us a rating and review, please, when you can. And, hey, y'all have a great one. We'll see you on the flip side. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to this episode of the Team Behind the Team podcast. For future episodes, go to iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher. We definitely want to keep having great guests on the show and great content. So if you have a moment, please go to iTunes, leave a rating and review, and let us know how we're doing. I'm Donnie Mabe, and thanks so much for tuning in.